That was amazing. Good to see Neil back up on stage as well. That was epic, bro. That was epic. Wow. Well, I'm excited for the word. Amen. Are you excited? I just really believe that what Jesus is going to highlight to us tonight is going to be transformational in every single one of our lives, including mine. And I feel that there's just something that he wants to do as the word is ministered, as he is ministered, because he is the word and he reveals himself to us through his spirit. You know that 1 Corinthians 15 says that first Adam was a living being, but last Adam is a life-giving spirit. And so there's a spirit in this place that is higher than every other spirit. There's a spirit in this place that is of a greater authority than any spirit you may be subject to. The spirit of politics in this country, the spirit of poverty which you may be subject to, whatever spirit you may be subject to, whatever other spirits there are in this place, the spirit of Jesus, the life-giving spirit of last Adam, Jesus Christ, is greater than all of those spirits. And he is here imparting life to us tonight through the revelation of the scriptures. These scriptures are God-breathed. They were inspired by him. And there are treasures locked inside to be found by us, his children. Amen? Come on now. Before I get too excited, we must take the offering up because we need to pay for all the coffee that you guys drink. Right? It's true. So if I could just ask the team to come up, please. And it's not a joke, that coffee thing. I really, really want to honor what Jimmy did this morning. I want to honor Jimmy, my friend. It's a great word this morning, bro. One of the most powerful words this church has ever heard. It really was. And I want to encourage you to download it on the website. And I really loved the way he opened up when he took up the offering. He just shared a couple of things that have resulted in thanksgiving to God. Because giving does, under the new covenant, giving is not a duty. We are not bound to give in order to be protected from God. We give out of an overflow. We give as a fruit of a revelation of his love. We can't help but give. You know, when I'm with my wife, I can't help but kiss her. You know, the deeper we go in our love, in that moment, I just want to hug her and hold her and kiss her. It just comes naturally. And I tell you, giving is one of those things in our Christian life. Because the gospel needs to go around the world. And this church is taking the gospel around the world. We send teams all over the world to Mozambique, to Nelspruit, to India, all over the world. And then, of course, we've got this church. And when you give, it results in thanksgiving to God. Amen? Amen? And so, I want to thank you for your giving. I want to stand with Jimmy this morning and just say thank you for your contributions to make the carrier of the gospel that is this church happen. So thank you and bless you as you give. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thank you to Byron and Aaron and Danielle and Matt. You guys are awesome. Okay, I want to give some stuff away. Who wants some stuff? Right. Good couple of you. I haven't explained yet. Wait. I haven't explained any conditions yet. Okay. There are conditions. There are always conditions. Because if there are no conditions, then you're not reading the Bible. Haha. That's a trick line. Okay. Now, I've got three things to give away because I want to advertise our bookshop. Our bookshop is amazing, and it sells the most glorious materials in the whole country. So, wait. You're distracting everyone else from hearing what I'm saying about the bookshop. So we have our awesome Steve Wheeler, who has written his first book, which is about you and I. It's about this church and how we transitioned from preaching legalism and a mixture of law and grace into preaching the pure gospel, undiluted, and how we got there. Very powerful book. I'm reading it for about a fourth time at the moment. And it really, really is a powerful book. And I want to encourage you to get it. It's only $100. Then I've got Andrew Womack, God's Kind of Love for You, which is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 DVD set of God's Kind of Love for You. Because God's Kind of Love is not what the world has. We need this for Caroline. Ray, we'll come up here, Michelle. There you go. Done. Done. It's only $100. That is cheaper than cost. Cost price for that was about 150. We have reduced it to $100. It's in the bookshop, which is probably going to be closed tonight. So you've got to come back next week and Sunday morning. And then Rob Rufus, Invading the Impossible. You guys all know this one? Fine, Sam. There you go. Well done. Good catch. Good catch. There you go. Well done, Chris. So go visit the bookshop and you will be blessed. Amen. Okay, tonight I'm going to share a word which I've called Hold On Tight to Your Dreams. Come on now. Hold on tight to your dream. Right. Now, I tried to listen to the song, but I actually didn't have time. The Holy Spirit didn't want me to do it, obviously. So we were not going to go there. Okay. But I'm going to open up with these scriptures here. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Don't be overwhelmed by that verse, or for the religious among us, excited by that verse, that last part. That was the covenant that Solomon was under when he wrote that. Blessed is he who keeps the law. So he was speaking under a covenant which he realized if people saw a vision of why they live their lives, why they are here on this earth, then they would keep the law. All right? And so he was living under that covenant, and that was the best thing to do, and that was keep the law. Okay? But I want to focus on the first part. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Now, something that happens, I believe, in many people's lives when the gospel of grace is revealed. When people get a revelation of the gospel of grace, all the have-tos come off. Because the only way we can get Christians to tithe and do mission work and serve and etc., etc., is either by money or by making them feel like they have to and they're not a good enough Christian. So then you come along and you preach grace, and then all the have-tos go away. And this is why a lot of pastors are very, very afraid of this message. Because when you preach grace, you can't get people to do what you need them to do anymore. And that's the fear they have. They don't want to hand over their people and their church into the hands of Jesus. Now, if we don't have a prophetic vision for our lives, we will cast off restraint, especially under grace circles. Personally, I'd rather have people casting off restraint but understanding the message than being manipulated and having a thriving working facility, all right? But I believe there is a better way, and that is when you see a prophetic vision for not only the church, the vision, the mission, whatever it may be, but for your own life, when you have a picture of God's vision for your life, you will discipline yourself to make that happen. You will discipline yourself to make that vision happen. The second verse is very similar. Also in Proverbs 13 verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, who do we know is the tree of life? Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life. Now, something similar. I believe there is something about fulfilling the desires in your heart that imparts the life of Jesus into you. It's almost like when you do the thing that you are called to do, the Zoe life of God, Jesus himself, is imparted to your cells. And so when we don't have those desires that we have in our hearts fulfilled, our hearts grow sick. We get depressed. We become negative. We become critical. We become cynical. And so that's what these two verses are about. We need a prophetic vision, not just a vision, not just goals. We need a prophetic vision for our own lives if we are to remain hopeful, to remain positive, and to get the job done, which is to disciple all nations. And I believe when every man on the planet is doing what God has called them to do in their heart, I believe that we will see nations discipled. And I'm going to show that to you tonight. You see, we know that we were created by God to do good works. Amen? And I want to show you this. We've all heard it before in Ephesians 2. And I'm just going to have a sip of water. So while you check that verse out. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, so often in these kind of passages and these kind of messages, we, and I've preached it many times before, that we have been created by God to do good works. We have been created by God to do incredible feats for Him. We have desires and dreams in our hearts. But do you notice that that verse, verse 10, is sandwiched between the gospel? It's, you were saved by grace as a gift of God, not a result of works. And then you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, it's the gospel that reveals that you are created by Him to do these things that have been placed in your heart. Amen? We must understand that. And that's why I'm so excited about this message. Because when I had a revelation, I'll never forget it for as long as I live and for eternity as well. When I had a revelation of the gospel, I remember being completely consumed by the Holy Spirit and God revealing these desires that were in my heart. They were always there and I would often think about them, but God was suddenly fast-tracking them and revealing them, and I was just writing them down like crazy the same night that I had the revelation of the gospel. And so it's amazing how the gospel brings purpose to our lives. And I want to tell you tonight that you have been created by God. He has created each and every one of you by hand. He has formed you. He has worked on you. He has put you together by hand. And He has prepared good works for you that you should walk in them. Why has He prepared good works for you? Why? Just so that He can watch us live our lives? No, because He wants this planet to look like heaven. And you have been called to make this planet look like heaven. And making the planet look like heaven does not just mean healing the sick, casting out devils and raising the dead, which is one of the basic foundations of how we make this planet look like heaven. But I just want to show you here, many of you, I know Chapung's doing YWAM, and the founder of YWAM came up with the seven mountains which the church needs to invade, etc., etc. And I've added one more in there. For those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, this is why I've put it on the screen. Okay. These, I believe, are the areas that are available to us. Business, education, entertainment, family, our own families, government, media, ministry, which is what this is right now. I've categorized that, although ministry is all of those things, but for want of a description, ministry is this. Okay, science and social work. Social work being feeding the poor, helping the helpless, etc., etc. Okay, now, you have been called to one of those, or a few of those, or all of them. But you have been created by Christ Jesus to invade one or two or all of those. Whether it's to take back business, whether it's to perform in business, and that could mean agriculture, import, export, whatever it may be. Education, teaching, new ways of teaching, entertainment, acting, singing, family. Some people are genuinely called to raise a family. Because those people that they are raising could be the next Nelson Mandela, the next Billy Graham, the next Apostle Paul. Mary was called to raise Jesus. So some people are called to family. Government. I believe there is a time coming when there will be men of God in power over the nations. And I'm going to get there. Okay, so I must move on. Okay, media, those are self-explanatory. Ministry, there are preachers here. I wanted to make a special mention of preachers. There are preachers in this room, which are powerful preachers. You are powerful, and you have the fire of God in your bones, waiting to be released. But I want to show you tonight that God knows who you are, and He will position you. He will position you. He will put you in place, and He will release you. So don't compare yourself, preachers, to other people or where other people are at. Just wait. Trust me. Wait. And I'll explain all that. Okay, science. There's breakthroughs. Amazing breakthroughs. I mean, oh, it's just the availability. We can end world hunger today. We can end HIV/AIDS. We can end cancer. There are scientific breakthroughs waiting to be released, and the church should be releasing those things. Social work, helping the homeless, etc., etc. All right. So, that's my introduction, my long introduction, and I hope you have your Bible. If you do, turn with me to Genesis 37. All right, and we are going to look at Joseph tonight. Because Joseph, we know, whenever someone preaches on dreams and things like this, Joseph is brought up. But I really felt like God wanted to encourage you tonight with the account of Joseph. So we're going to read from chapter 37, from verse 2 down to verse 11. We're going to go through a couple of passages. We're going to have to skip some and be quick. Okay, it's not going to come up on the screen, eh? So if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. Just listen. This is the account of Jacob. I just love that. I don't know if Moses was in the glory or something, but he's like, this is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17. Okay, good account of Jacob there, Moses, because you're talking about Joseph. Anyway, that's for free. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers. The sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report. And he brought their father a bad report about them. So Joseph was a bit of a snitch. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Nah, 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 nah. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" and they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said. So now they hate him, and so he has another dream, and he decides to tell it to them again. "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Now he had 11 brothers, so 11 stars is his brothers. "When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, 'What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?' His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind." Now, I want to draw a couple of similarities between Joseph and you and I. And the first one is that Joseph was favored by his father. Joseph had favor which was different to what his brothers had. And friends, you and I have been favored by God through the cross. Do you know that you are favored by God the Father as much as Jesus was favored? As much as Jesus is favored. You are in Christ, and God loves you, and He favors you as much as Christ. Do you know that I believe the other brothers had favor on their lives as well? The difference is, some of them may not have used it, some of them may not have believed it, some of them may not have stepped out in it, and also God chose to use the account of Joseph in Scripture. We don't know what the other brothers went on to. The other thing is, Joseph is ordained with a colorful robe. Now, do you know what that represents? That represents the robe of glory that has been ordained on you. The robe of righteousness that has been clothed on you. You have been given by your father a robe of glory. There is an atmosphere of glory around you. And the word that Kareem brought tonight in Psalm 34, it's amazing because she doesn't know that I sent that very verse out to everyone in the church on Friday afternoon. In the weekly email. We radiate the glory. Those who look to God, their faces are radiant. Friends, your face radiates. And some of us just don't even realize it. Your face is radiating now, Candace. Like it's beaming. It's a good song. Good ringtone. Friends, you are clothed in glory. You have been given this robe which is on you, do you know that it's more than just a robe that's clothed around you? It has become part of your being. You are glory. You are righteousness. Now, Joseph has dreams about the destiny over his life. And I want to tell each and every one of you tonight that all of you have destiny over your lives. Every one of you. Like I said, Joseph's brothers also had destiny over their lives. But we must never, ever get caught in the trap of comparison. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to compare us to the other person. To other people. The devil compares Adam and Eve to God to get them to sin. And they were made in the image of God. And the trap was comparison. We have all been made in the same image. And the devil wants to compare us. You see, is there a difference between us and God? Well, personally, I think there is. But I'm still made in His image and I'm the same substance as Him. But I'm different because in the same way that my son is a 100% human being and probably stronger than me, he is different to me. I believe we are different. And so the devil comes along and he tries to compare. And he tries to twist truth. And it's not about you lower than him or higher. It's not about God. God does not see you as lower than him. Do you know that? God has redeemed you back to his level. You're on the same level as God. And that's not blasphemy. That's gospel truth. There is a challenge, though. Joseph had a revelation of a destiny over his life, and he became arrogant. That was his problem. Do you know that despite Joseph's great destiny, despite the great purposes that God had for his life, he still had the capacity to make choices and do things which could have cut short his destiny. He still had the capacity to be silly and immature in how he dealt with that destiny. He shot his mouth off, and it didn't give him much favor with his brothers. And I want to tell you, friends, don't become arrogant and unwise in dealing with your destiny. Ask God for wisdom. He will pour it out upon you, and he will give grace to you in order to deal with that destiny. There are people in here whose destiny is major. Major. Really. There are world changes in here. And we must be so careful not to become arrogant in the destiny that we have. Okay, we're going to look at the next couple of passages. In verse 17, we pick it up. It says, they've moved on. So now Joseph is going to go look for his brothers. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, one of the brothers, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. Pick it up in verse 31. Then they got Joseph, so they do that. They take Joseph, they throw him into a cistern. Then they see Ishmaelites coming down, and they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites. They take his robe, and then we pick it up in verse 31. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, we found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. He recognized it and said, it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, saying, no, in mourning will I go down to the grave for my son. So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. Now, the first thing that we see here in this passage is that the enemy used his brother's jealousy to shut down Joseph's destiny. Two things here. Firstly, it was the attitude and emotion of God's own children that allowed the enemy an opportunity to attack someone else. The Jews were God's children. We know that these 12 brothers became the 12 tribes of Israel. These were 11 brothers chosen by God, and the enemy used God's very own children to shut down someone else's destiny. And I think that's important for us as children of God to be very careful not to be overcome by emotion. Galatians 5:15, Paul talks about devouring each other. We devour each other, we bite each other, because things happen. We are people, we get affected by other people, and we become overwhelmed with emotion, with anger, with hatred, with jealousy, and the enemy can use that to shut down other people's destiny. Friends, don't just ask God, ask the Spirit of God to give you grace in controlling your emotions. Because I know what it's like. Your emotions get the better of you. I know. I don't think God wanted me to say that. I am. I'm an emotional guy. And I know what it's like. The second thing is, the enemy doesn't like your destiny. The enemy hated what God wanted to do through Joseph's life. So he did everything he could to shut it down. He saw the destiny and he tried to come in and shut down Joseph's destiny. Friends, God has placed such a great destiny over your life. Every one of you. And I keep stressing that because I know when a message like this goes out, so many people listen to it and they go, not for me, not for me, not for me. No, my friend, you have a great destiny to impact this world. But the enemy wants to shut it down. So don't be surprised when things happen, when bad things happen. What's interesting is that Jesus will never let your destiny die. Reuben is a picture of Jesus. Reuben is the firstborn of the 12 brothers. Jesus is the firstborn of us. And Reuben was the one who said, no, we're not taking his life. Jesus will do everything to intervene and snatch you from death's hands. And I'm talking your dreams and destiny as well. Where your dreams and destiny seem like they're dying, like they're falling apart, Jesus will jump in and he will stop those dreams and desires and destinies from falling apart. That is your Savior. The other thing is, they stripped him of his robe. The enemy wants to strip you of your righteousness and your glory. He wants to lie to you and say that you are dead. The enemy uses fake blood, not really Joseph's blood. He uses fake blood to lie and pretend like Joseph is dead. The enemy wants to lie to you and say that you aren't good enough and say that your desires and dreams will never come to pass because of the person that you are and what you've done. And he will hold you back from entering into your destiny through simple lies. He's a faker. He always has been. Now, the last part of that passage there is that Jacob gets the robe back, and he just goes into this depression. You notice he says, I'm going to weep, I'm going to mourn until the day I die. And I think a lot of us here, and we heard that from Terry's word a good couple of weeks ago, a lot of us here have been lied to by the devil, we've been sold a fake story. Just like Jacob was sold a fake story that his son is really dead, we've been sold a fake story. We don't believe that we're going to make it ever again, and we just get sick. Our hearts get sick. There's no hope. Friends, I want to tell you there is hope. Tonight, I want to tell you there is hope. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. There is hope for your dreams and your desires. There is hope. There always is in Jesus. No matter what. Romans 15:13 says this. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. The Holy Spirit tonight wants to impart to you hope. You notice that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that you abound in hope. Many of you feel like your dreams have been shut down. Many of you feel like your dreams have been cut to pieces, ripped to shreds. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit tonight is imparting life to make you abound in hope. You notice that when the God of hope fills you, your joy comes back. Your peace comes back. All right, got to wrap it up here. Have a look at Genesis 39 and verse 4, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The Lord wants to bless businesses because of your presence. The Lord wants to bless families because of your presence. The Lord wants to bless your friends because of you in their lives. The Lord blessed the Egyptian. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field, so he left in Joseph's care everything he had. Now we know what happens. We know that he goes to jail. He's set up again. The devil just trying to shut down his dreams. He's completely set up. And then just have a look at this. His first dream interpretation is picked up in Genesis 40. And where are we? Verse 8. The cupbearer and the baker say, "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Now I just want to pause there. Many of you are going to be placed in situations where you are going to be doing incredible feats. Incredible things. Radical new ideas. Radical new discoveries. Radical new ways of doing things. Healing. Signs, wonders, miracles. Like Joseph, I want to encourage you tonight to rest in God. Joseph did not get intimidated. He knew who his God was. He knew who he was as a son of God. And he said, "Hey, tell me your dreams." Doesn't God know all dreams? I know God. Tell me them. He rested. And I believe it's that gave him favor. He just knew who he was. He knew his destiny. Throughout everything that happened, every time he was attacked, every time his life took a turn for the worse, he knew who he was and he knew what was coming. And many of you are in these situations and you just can't wait for the breakthrough. You can't wait to make it. Rest, friends. Rest. God will set it up. God will send you the breakthrough. It will come. It was years that Joseph was in charge of Potiphar's house, went to jail. And then, we look again, Genesis 41:16. 41:15 and 16. Now it comes to Pharaoh. He moves from cupbearers and bakers to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." So look at his response. Now, Mr. Arrogant Joseph has completely transformed into this humble man, understanding that it's by grace. He says, "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." It's like a humble confidence. I can't do it, but God will. And he's like, that's like a setting himself up. He can't do it, but God will. Well, then who's God going to do it through? The only one that knows God? Him. You see the difference? Again, he rests in who he is as a child. Now, I wrap it up with this. Genesis 41:41-43. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. Its authority, its glory, its full-on leadership. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Can you believe the transformation? From nothing, in a ditch with his underpants. Literally, a robe is what they wore as clothes. He was in a ditch, he was in a cistern. in his underpants, with nothing left, sold to Ishmaelites, on his way to Egypt, the biggest city in the known world at the time. There was nothing left. Here, we see second in charge of Egypt. We see a king. He is riding like a king. That is the transformation that came to a man who knew his destiny and rested in God no matter what he went through. No matter what he faced, no matter what came his way, no matter what the enemy threw at him, he knew who he was and he knew what God wanted to do with his life. And eventually when the time came, he rested in his Savior, he rested in his Father, and it was through grace, what God had created him for, that he was placed into this position of absolute authority. I'm telling you, friends, we are going to find ourselves in these kind of positions. Amen. God is going to elevate us. God is going to elevate you. He's going to raise you to these places. And things are going to happen. Things are going to happen in this life. And you're going to go, why, God? Why? Why this? Why that? Why are we not seeing healings, Lord? Why are we not seeing enough healings? Why have I never seen anyone raised from the dead? Why, Lord? Why? Why? Don't ask questions. Just know it will come. It will come. It will come. God's promised it. It will happen. And I wrap up with this verse here. In 1 Corinthians, it says, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. We aren't going to stand in the presence of God and go, look what I did, look what I did. We're going to be like, woohoo, it's happened, we did it. We're going to celebrate together. And we were the nothings of this world. We were the ones who said, nothing's going to happen. We were the ones who were given no chance, no hope. And we shamed them. We are going to shame them. Come on now. Church, there's a quiet confidence in my spirit because I know what's happening. I know what will happen. And let the critics come. Let the questions come. Let people talk because I know what will be accomplished. You know, there are dreams that need to be stirred up again. And I don't know why God wanted me to share this tonight, I must be honest. I prayed about what God wanted to share, what God wanted to do here tonight, prayed about the word, and I really felt that there are many people here who feel like they are not seeing breakthrough. Whether it's in healing, signs and wonders, whether it's in general life, whether it's in your dreams, whether it's whatever it may be in your Christian life. We keep hearing that we should be blessed. We should have the finances. We keep hearing it, but we're not seeing it. Where's the reality? And I wanted to come and bring an encouragement again that despite reality, despite what you see around you, the truth is greater than reality. Truth is higher than reality. And the promises of God are yes and amen. They will come to pass. As you get greater vision for what God has called you to in this life, as you see the dreams in your heart, they will fuel you for all the days of your life. And I'm talking little dreams. You start with the small ones and you move on. I mean, I think of Singapore. Us going to Singapore was a small, well, it's huge, but it's gone now. Singapore's over. Now what? And it's not like we have these goals that we're like, okay, well, we've done Singapore, now let's do this. No, that was a dream that God placed in our hearts as a group of friends. God placed that in our hearts, and we stepped out, and we said, we're going to do it. And I tell you, we had our critics. Woo! You got no idea the critics that we had. I would sit with people for hours trying to talk to them and convince them that it's going to happen. Really, I would. And they still didn't believe us. And they, at every turn, it would be like, ah, you see it. Ah, you see. And it happened. And we went on the plane. And we said, there was a quiet confidence. I didn't get up. But in my heart, I was. But now, that's one thing that we accomplished. Now there's so many more dreams. There's a dream that Corinne and I have for our lives and for our child and for our destiny and for our purpose, for our ministry, for our church, for everything. There's so many different areas that God has placed inside your heart. So many areas of desire. So many things inside your heart which God wants to unlock and unleash. And you just build on those things. Step out. Go after it. Follow your heart. And you will see miracles. You will see the whole world turned upside down. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand? Let's pray together. Hold on tight to your dreams. Don't let go of your dreams. Because Joseph held tight to his dreams. And look where it got him. Don't let go of your dreams, friends. Just Holy Spirit, right now, come and highlight again the dreams that may have died, the dreams that may have been put in the basements of people's consciousness, the basements of people's hearts. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would go in there, reach into those basements, dust off those dreams and bring them back. Bring them back to light. Show them, Lord, your dreams for their lives. Show us, Father, what you have for our lives. Show us the dreams for this church. Show us the dreams for our families. Show us the dreams for our businesses. Show us the dreams for our ministries. Show us the dreams for our friends. Show us the dreams for this nation. Show us the dreams for breakthroughs in science. Show us, Lord, the dreams again. Breakthrough. Holy Spirit, we ask, stir them up right now. Stir up every dream right now. I speak every dream to rise up. Rise up. Dreamers, rise up. A lot of you are actually going to have dreams tonight. A lot of you this week are going to have dreams. You're going to dream of things. You're going to dream of your future. You're going to dream of what God has called you to. You're going to have dreams of your purpose, dreams of your destiny. And many of you are going to wake up with a new fire, a new energy, a new hope, which is going to fuel you for the rest of your life. I just speak to every heart that is sick right now, and I say, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I break every lie of the devil that has lied to us with this fake robe and said, ah ha, look, he's dead, your dream's dead, you are dead, ah ha ha. And I say, shut up, devil, it's a lie, because that's all you ever do is lie. You lie, lie, lie. And I say, shut up, enough is enough, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that every dream for this church, every dream for this person will become a reality. Father, we pray tonight for your glory and what you want to do. What you want to do on this planet. You are going to celebrate with us, your kids. It's going to be glorious. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. Thank you.